holy and pleasing to God, for this is true worship. The juxtaposition of the pronoun with those words about sacrifice. What on earth is Paul talking about? Bodies. When he uses that word bodies, the word has an implication. It implies all of you. As Peterson puts it, your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, all of us in every aspect, every manifestation of our lives. So when we offer our bodies, we offer our all. That is why I said Paul is using those words in a troubling way. Those words should have been used of an animal body being offered. They knew what happened to that animal body. It was offered. It was totally sacrificed. And what was it that Paul now was saying? He was saying, I urge you to offer your bodies. Everything you are, everything you do, bring your past, bring your present, bring your aspirations, bring what you do every day, the good, the bad, the shameful. Bring your bodies and offer them. This was mind-blowing for them. They knew that when an animal body was offered, there would be nothing left except a lifeless carcass. You, says Paul, offer your bodies. Offer everything you are. Offer yourselves. Your blood is still going to be in your veins. Your heart is still going to be pumping. Your mind is still going to be active. In other words, you are going to still be alive. Which is why Paul says, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. But just because we are alive, living, doesn't reduce the implication and the force of those words, offer and body and sacrifices. What does it mean? It means this: our sacrifice is not like that animal, a one-off sacrifice, and then we are dead. Our offering becomes an ongoing sacrifice. It becomes the way we live our lives, transformed lives, as we shall see presently. And so here we are. We have offered our whole lives, everything we are and do and think, and that life now being lived as an ongoing sacrifice answers an often asked question. The question, what is worship? And the answer, this is true worship. This is true worship. A life offered as a sacrifice to God, a life that is now lived for God. We call this worship. We call this worship. You know what that means? It means that worship is no longer limited to a place, a church building with a pastor overseeing it. Of course, church worship remains vital, the preaching and the praying and the singing. In fact, church building worship is commanded. But the concept of worship is now extended. It is extended to our homes. It is extended to our offices. It's extended to the sports field, to our leisure time. What is worship? Worship is the style of life in which our bodies become living sacrifices offered up to God. And this leads to a radical change. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Transformed. We've all heard sermons explaining the word transformed. It's the word metamorphosis. The transformation, the metamorphosis of a worm into a butterfly. When we offer our bodies as living sacrifices and when we take that commitment seriously, we become transformed. Because Jesus is now able to start living His life through us. As Paul says in another place, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. But Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. There's a transformation. We are transformed from what we are to a life energized by Christ living in us. There's a transformation, a metamorphosis. And it's that sacrificed, yet now Christ-energized life that we call true worship. When our bodies become vehicles through which Christ is able to live his life. Radical. What does radical mean? As it was pointed out on that Sunday night 2 weeks ago, radical has nothing to do with trendy. Radical has nothing to do with what is the current fad. Radical means thoroughgoing. It means extreme. Radical worship. What is radical worship? Maybe it's easier for radical worship to mean flashing lights and smoke machines. Maybe it's easier. But sadly, that's not what it means. Radical worship means the style of life in which our bodies become living sacrifices offered up to God. It's a far more powerful, thoroughgoing, all-embracing, life-changing word, the meaning of radical worship. Radical worship, what does this look like practically? Paul shows us what it can look like in both the church and outside the church. When he talks about what worship might look like in the church, he gives us a sample of 7 possible gifts we might have. Gifts we know we have. How do we know? Because we have thought of ourselves with sober judgment. We have thought of ourselves with sober judgment. So these gifts which we have, gifts radical worshipers will use for the good of the church. Why will we use them for the good of the church? Because each member belongs to the other. And because these gifts express who God has made us to be. Just go ahead and be what you were made to be. And so we use these gifts that God has given to us, and we use them for the good of everybody, and we use them because they're an expression of who God has made us to be. 7 gifts, not a total list of gifts, just a sampling of gifts. 7 gifts, 3 of them are speaking gifts, the prophesying, the teaching, the encouraging. 4 of them are serving gifts, serving, giving, leadership, mercy. We all have gifts. We don't all have all the gifts, but we all have gifts. And so those of us who want to be radical worshipers, what does Paul say? We think of ourselves with sober judgment, not, "Ach, I'm useless," or, "Gee, I'm really good." Sober judgment, and recognize our gifts. And if we still don't recognize our gifts, ask people who know and love you. Ask them what they think your gift is. What is not obvious to you will be obvious to those around us. And then radical worshipers will use their gifts. We use our gifts. Substitution doesn't apply in this instance. We can't let someone else step in for us and do the job for us. No, we use our gifts. Remember, we have offered our bodies as living sacrifices, so not to step forward and use our gifts is just not an option if you want to be a radical worshiper. Do you know what your gift is? Or let me put it like this. Do you know the kinds of things that you are able to do? Are you doing those things, at least some of them? Radical worshipers will be using their gifts, will be doing, in the context of the church, remember we look in the church now, will be using those gifts in the context of the church. I realize that time and family constraints may make it a challenge, but all of us struggle with time and family constraints. Remember what worship is? It's a style of life in which our bodies become living sacrifices offered up to God. Whatever we do for the Lord will be a sacrifice because we are choosing to do something for Him rather than doing something for ourselves. That is what sacrifice means. That is what radical worship in the context of the church includes. But Paul doesn't just leave it here. He makes it even more challenging. It's one thing to use our gifts, but simply using them is not what God wants. He's interested also in the attitude with which we use them. And what is that attitude? Of course you all know what it is. It's love. Love becomes the Christian's trademark. Love that is sincere. I must say this because we all know it anyway, but sometimes it's difficult to love a person. Some people are difficult to love. There are times when we're going to want to send a substitute. Lord, let somebody else love that person. I'm struggling. Take me out of play. We all know that. And the Lord says, no, you love them. You love them. We think about Jesus and we remember reading that Jesus learned obedience. Hebrews 5 verse 8. And we remember reading that Paul learned to be content. Philippians 4 11. Some things just don't come naturally. And so we have to do the work. And so we commit ourselves. Lord, I have been transformed. I am a new creation. I have your Holy Spirit energizing me. Now, Lord, help me. Lord, help me to love this person. Lord, here's my body. You love them through me. And we learn to love sincerely. But then we notice something else about this love. It is discerning. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. We don't love everything. We look, we exercise discernment, and we realize that there are some things that we not only don't love, but we actually hate because it is evil. And then we notice something else. Love is committed. Be devoted to one another in love. Love doesn't come and go. Then we notice love respects. Honor one another above yourselves. And further, we see that love is enthusiastic. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. God is enthusiastic about us. And because God is loving through us, we show enthusiasm in our love for those around us. Has an important one. Love is generous. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. And in the same vein, love is hospitable. Practice hospitality. But we're not finished yet. Love has a well-developed EQ, emotional quotient, in case you didn't know that. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Love allows the feelings of others to touch it. Love is also peace-loving. Live in harmony with one another. Love is also humble. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do you think you are superior? Love, it's a huge concept. Love covers many different aspects. But didn't Jesus say, by this will all people know you are my disciples, if you love one another? Love is the distinguishing characteristic of his radically worshiping people. Do we find that challenging? How we are to behave in the context of the church? Wait for it. Here comes the real challenge. What about radical worship outside the church context? Oh dear, do we have to love those outside the church as well? Is our relationship with them part of our radical worship of God? Yes, it is. And here Paul gives us four negative commands. He says, do not curse. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do not take revenge. Do not be overcome by evil. Don't do those four things. And isn't that saying one thing really? Do not retaliate. Why might we ask? Why can't we retaliate when somebody hurts us? It's natural and retaliation feels so good. Well, maybe it does in the short term. But look at our model. Jesus committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. We have four commands. Do not. And we look at Jesus, and Jesus did not. And he's our model. Paul goes on. We have the four don'ts, but these are balanced by four do's. Do not curse, rather bless. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Do what is right. Live at peace with everyone as far as possible. Do not take revenge. Rather, leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. In other words, let God balance the scales of justice. He will do what is right. Do not be overcome by evil. Rather, overcome evil with good. And we look at that and we, oh Lord, we pray, take me out of play. Send in a substitute. Send someone else who can do those things. And once again, the Lord says no. Because this is part of what radical worship looks like, the way we behave towards those who have not yet responded to Jesus' love. And once again, Jesus is our model. To this you were called, because Jesus suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Loving those who love us, it's easy. Loving those who hate us requires sacrifice. Radical worship means loving those who hate us. That worship is an act of worship that declares God is very great. That act of worship is an act of worship showing us nothing else can, that Jesus does change lives. That Jesus is worthy of my love. He is worthy of my worship. And that is what radical worship of him looks like. Can we do this during the week? Of course we can. Being a peacemaker at work. Being a peacemaker on the sports field for Jesus' sake. That is a radical act of worship. Not being part of the gossip around the tea urn for Jesus' sake. That is a radical act of worship. Leaving the office at the end of a day, having given your best, that is a radical act of worship. Having sensed the opportunity to speak to somebody about Jesus and having taken the opportunity for Jesus' sake, that is a radical act of worship. There are many radical acts of worship we can do throughout the week. Let's not stop meeting together in this place. It is good for us. It honors God. Meeting here is part of our radical worship. Serving here is part of our radical worship. But remember, most of our radical worship takes place when we leave this building. I want to be a radical worshiper. And I'm wondering, isn't it something that you want also? We're not going to sing a song. For those who are doing tea, you might want to use this as your cue. For those who are not doing tea, let's just sit and think about some of these things and see what the Lord wants to say to us, how he wants to challenge us, what he wants us to do to become radical worshipers. Let's just spend some time quietly. Lord Jesus, we know that you do speak to us by your Spirit, and we know that your Spirit uses your Word to speak to us. And Lord, I know that there are those of us who feel that you have spoken this morning. And Lord, what you have said is simply between them and you. nothing to do with me or anyone else. It's between you and them. I just pray for them this morning, Father. I pray that they would know your power to do what you have spoken to them about. Even though they feel overwhelmed at the thought of it, that they would know that as they take that step in faith, you yourself will give them the strength to take that step. Lord Jesus, you love us. And everything we do is done in response to your prior love for us. And Lord, we are doing this and willing to do this in response to the love you have already shown us. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, that it's a day when we can come together and do things differently. Thank you that it's a day when we can allow you to do a recreation within us. It's a day we set apart as different from the other days of the week. And Lord, won't you do that work in us so that tomorrow, when we step out again, Lord, we are ready to be radical worshipers. Yes, here in the church, but in the workplace too. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.